Good morning. Glad to have you with us this morning in this place of worship. God is here. He promised where two or more are gathered in his name that he would be here in our midst. And so we are glad to have him as part of our congregation this morning. I pray that during this time that you will feel his presence, that wherever you are, you will feel him walk by you, touch you on the arm, offer an affirmative word to you in your spirit, and comfort you if you are grieving. Today, I want to have a little talk to you about weariness, fatigue, and exhaustion. Anybody relate to that at all? I mean, seriously, I mean, it's almost like a continuing thing, isn't it? There are a few words that pretty much, by and large, we can all identify with, especially if you have younger children or grandchildren that come to visit for a while. I mean, there just seems to be more energy on their side of the equation than is for our side of the equation. I was reminded this week of a Ironman competition that was televised back in 1997. I don't remember the location of it, but I remember that in the ladies' portion, there were two female racers that were at the head of the pack, and one was going on to victory. The other one was her competitor, and she was gaining ground. And as they came to within sight of the finish line, both of their muscles began to give out. They began to be in shutdown. And so it was painful to watch these ladies so close to the finish. They had already swam. They had already biked. And here they were on the leg, the racing leg of the portion, when everything falls down on them. I mean, they hit the wall, and it looked like the wall hit them. I mean, they were walking, and their legs were wobbling, and they couldn't even maintain balance and coordination, and just to get up was difficult for them. And one would get up and look back at the other one, and it was just painful to watch, because you could tell that weariness, fatigue, and complete exhaustion had overtaken them. Now listen, there's a good kind of fatigue and exhaustion that comes as a result of a hard day's work where you feel like you've accomplished something, and just that kind of, you're tired, you take that shower, you slip into bed, and you sleep really well. It feels good, right? There's that after a day that is well spent, a day of lots of energy, rewarding work, you've got that accomplishment, and it brings about just rest. You sleep like a baby. But then there's the dangerous kind, and I think this is kind of where those ladies were, that after grinding and grinding and grinding, after struggling so hard for so long, things just began to fall, the wheels began to fall off the wagon, so to speak. And for those of you that have been dealing with this kind of fatigue and weariness for years, that have been going through the grind without seeing the results and not much to show for it, it prevents us from resting, doesn't it? I mean, there's this fatigue, this depression, this weariness that comes upon us that we can't rest at night because our minds continue to race, thinking about what we need to do the next day and how we need to get ahead of the game. And so we just are at the absolute point of near collapse, aren't we? Prolonged weariness and fatigue, prolonged periods of exhaustion have some very negative results. These are just a few. It can impair our judgment. It gives us the inability to think clearly or objectively. It makes concentration difficult, and it just impacts the whole mental aspect of our game. Then it can result in moodiness. You ever lashed out at a loved one for no other reason than the fact that you were just tired? It creates anger. Maybe even goes to the point where you get giddy. You ever been so sleepy that things in the middle of the night just got funny and you just laughed almost like a little schoolgirl because you couldn't control it? The reality was you were just fatigued beyond thought. Then it also impacts us in that it takes away our productivity. You see, we've got to work harder and longer to get less yield. We get fewer results. Then there's reduced vigilance. We're not as cautious or careful. We'll take more chances and more risks. This is even bad for Christians because our awareness to temptation begins to fade and go away. There's an increased risk of accident or injury, and these are just to name a few. Fatigue, weariness, exhaustion. This is serious business. And oftentimes in the church, we just plug through and we put on the good face on Sunday morning, but down inside, we are falling apart. And this kind of exhaustion does not need to be ignored. It needs to be diagnosed for what it is. It needs to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with it is rest. And then it needs to be defeated. Not letting the exhaustion win, but to overcome it and to push through so that you win. It's into this kind of environment that Jesus speaks to the church in Philadelphia. We've been going through these seven churches in Revelation, this series. And so today, if you are here and you are weary, don't be afraid. I'm not going to beat you up today. I had a couple of weeks where folks said, wow, you really stepped on toes, or wow, you really beat us into shape this week. But today is all about those of you who are weary, those who are exhausted, those who are at the point of just fatigue, and you just need a word of hope, a word of help. This is your word today. This is what Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and following. Write this to Philadelphia, to the angel of the church. I see what you've done. Now see what I've done. I've opened a door before you that no one can slam shut. You don't have much strength, and I know that. You used what you had to keep my word. You did not deny me when things and times were rough. And watch as I take those who call themselves true believers, but are nothing of the kind, pretenders whose true membership is in the club of Satan. Watch as I strip off their pretensions, and they are forced to acknowledge it is you that I loved. Because you kept my word in passionate patience, I'll keep you safe in the time of testing that will be here soon, and over the entire earth, every man, woman, and child put to the test. I'm going on my way. I'm on my way. I will be there soon. Keep a tight grip on what you have so that no one distracts you and steals your crown. I will make each conqueror a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, a permanent position of honor. Then I'll write names on you, the pillars, the name of my God, the name of God's city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and my new name I will write on you. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. This is out of the Message version, and it just spoke to me, and I hope that you'll bear with me as I allow those words to sink deep into my spirit, and I pray that they'll sink into your spirits as we pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and that it is living and active. Today, we pray that your word would come alive in our hearts to such the extent that we hear you speaking to us, not just the church at Philadelphia, not just in the words or the printed page of the Bible, but God, that you would speak wonderful words of rest and life and vitality into your people here today. God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see you and what you're doing, ears to hear your words of affirmation, hearts, God, filled with courage to keep on keeping on. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and glory today. Lord, we do pray for those that are persecuted. We pray for those who are weary in well-doing. We pray for those, God, that their lives are on the line day in and day out. And we pray strength for them. We pray comfort for them. I ask that your peace would settle upon them, and that even as they give themselves in martyrdom for your name, that God, their deaths would not be in vain. Strengthen them and their children and their children's children. Lord, I thank you that your word says, in the end, we win. Remind them of that in the hour that seems like defeat is certain. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for our opportunity to gather here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice right off the bat how quickly Jesus diagnoses what's going on there in the situation in Philadelphia. Jesus says, I know. I know what you've been through. I know your deeds. I know what you've done. and that you lack strength. You see, Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. He's not going to fool around. He's not going to mince words. He's not going to beat around the bush. He looks at this church and he says, I know what you've been into. I know what you've been up against. I know you're tired. You're exhausted. You are fatigued to the nth of degree. He affirms everything they've done by telling them that he has seen it. He says, I've seen you keep my word. I've seen that you did not deny me, but I'm going to tell you this. Even though you've remained faithful, you're exhausted. You're depleted. And then he goes on quickly to say, but hold on, help is coming. Where are you today? Are you depleted? Are you at the point of near defeat, depression, discouragement? You need to know today that you are not invisible to God's eyes. That God knows it. He sees it. And his diagnosis is, son, daughter, you're weary. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're fatigued. And you need to hold on. I know you're weary. I know I'm diagnosing it today. I can see it on your faces, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are weary, and God knows. If I can see it and I know, God knows. So know that today. The second thing Jesus says to them is he promises that he will help them deal with what they're going through by offering rest. You see, he says, I'm going to get involved now. I'm going to do some things. I've seen all that you've done, but now I want you to watch and see what I'm about to do. See the things that I'm accomplishing so that you can sit back and rest in me. Some of you, that's what you need today. You don't need to keep working and working and working and striving harder and harder to do less. You need to sit back in the arms and in the presence of God and just let him love on you and rest in him. That's what you need today. You see, this is the same Jesus is talking to Philadelphia church. He's the same Jesus back in Matthew 11 that says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you, I don't think you know what I'm talking about. I will give you rest. Do you need rest today? The only place that we're going to find true, abiding, deep, satisfying rest is in the lap of Jesus. And allow him to work on our behalf. Jesus says to the church in Philadelphia, rest assured, I've just opened a door that nobody else is going to be able to close. Rest. Assured of the fact that I'm the one that's opened up the door. You didn't do it. You couldn't have done it. You can't accomplish it. I've done it. I've opened up this door that no one can close. It's almost like he's saying to them, don't grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up, like it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Rest assured. Don't grow weary in doing good because I'm involved. I'm the one that's going to take up the labor. I'm the one that's going to bear the yoke with you. So rest assured. Don't give up on the brink of the miraculous. Jesus said, you may not even see this door open, but I'm telling you, I have opened a door, and it's a door that no one is going to shut. He's going to open up doors of opportunity, doors of influence for this church, doors of greater harvest. They're not going to do it. Only in his power and walking in obedience to the way that he's created for them. I wonder this morning, is there anybody here today that's exhausted because you've been struggling to open some doors in your life that you just can't seem to budge? Those doors seem to slam shut in your face. You can't pry them open. You can't push them open. I don't know what kind of doors you're facing today, but what you need to do is get honest with yourself and honest with God and know you're not going to do it on your own. You're weary, you're exhausted, you're fatigued. And you just need to rest and let God open the doors that no one else can shut. And let him close some doors for you that no one can open so that he can guide and direct you. You need to rest assured knowing that our God is a door-opening God. The second thing that I think you need to do is rest assured, because God will deal with the people that oppose you. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to bow or stoop to their level. You need to rise above it and let God deal with it. I will repay, said the Lord. Revenge is mine. You don't need to get involved in that messy work. Let me step into the gap on your behalf. You're exhausted, you're weary, you're fatigued because you're trying to fight for your reputation. You're trying to fight for what's right. You're trying to fight for justice. But I am going to put them in their place, God said. I'm the one that's going to humble them. You can rest assured, I have got your back. He said it to the Philadelphia church, and he says it here today to us at Sharkey's. You got issues, you've got struggles, you've got enemies and opponents that are constantly coming against you, and they're sucking the life out of you. They have fatigued you, they have worn you out. Rest in me, God said, and let me handle it. Because not only am I going to open doors, but I'm going to deal with those who oppose you. I will defend you. I will protect you. I will promote you. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." There is nothing too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible with God. You may be looking at relationship situations. You may be working at work relationships. You may be looking at neighbors or whatever it is. And you're exhausted from trying to make it work. Anybody struggling? Anybody struggling today with relationships? You need God to come in and God to intervene there because you're just give out and you're undone. God specializes in that stuff. God specializes in those who are weary because of the struggles that they face in relationships. You aren't seeing any hope? Trust in God. All of us could take a great amount of comfort from the fact that we don't need to look at our problems for God to be involved in them. You know, far too many times we are telling God how big our mountains are, when we ought to start looking at the mountain and reminding the mountain how big our God is. We're weary because we're trying to do God's job. We're worn out because we are trying to do things that we cannot accomplish in our strength or in our power. We need to rest assured that God's got our back. God's opening doors and God's working in the area of our opponents and our enemies and those who are seeking to discredit us. God's got it handled. So we can rest. We can rest assured in that fatigue that I don't have to do it. Some of you need to know this. God is for you, not against you. So some of you are convinced that God has got it out for you, that you've messed up enough in your life that you can't catch a break, and instead of blaming the enemy for it, you're looking at God saying, "Why can't I catch a break? I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm give out." You need to know that God is for you, not against you. Some of you need to hear today that God is not mad at you. He is mad about you. If God had a refrigerator, I heard this one time, I love it. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. God's for you. And if you're weary and undone because of relationships and the enemies and those that come and seek to destroy you, know this. Isaiah 43:2 says this, "A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he, God, will bring forth justice." You struggling today? You undone? You give out because of things in your life? Rest assured, God is here. God is working, and he is for you, not against you. Then he goes on to say, "Rest assured, Philadelphia, I've got your back because there's coming trouble, and I'm going to keep you from the test that is to beset and befall the world. I'm going to pull you together as my remnant, and I'm going to secure the borders. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to create a shroud around you. I will be your glory and the one who lifts your head," as it says in the Psalms. I've got this. I love the fact that our God is not afraid of trouble. He actually enters into the fray when his children are in bad times. When we're in the worst, he's in the thick of it with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, we got to go in the fire. They get in there and find out God's decided to take that trip with them. Daniel in the lion's den, you need to be reminded that he shut the mouths of the lions. I believe that's because the Holy Spirit was there, in there with Daniel. The children of Israel got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army behind them. There was no hope until God showed up and he parted the waters and he walked through the Red Sea with them. Where are you at? Does it look like a difficult situation is coming? Testing, trial, tribulation? God says, rest assured, I'm going to get you through it. I'm not going to take you to it and leave you and abandon you. I'm going to see you through it. Some of us need to hear that today. Yeah, we're going through trouble, but God has not left us there to die. He's going to see us all the way through. Then on, Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming. And what he told us in John was, I'm coming to take you where I am. I'm building a house for you in my Father's kingdom, and so that where I am, you can be there with me. He said, I've got a place for you in the heavenly city. I'm going to make you a pillar in the house and the temple of my God. And I'm going to put God's name on you and the name of the temple, God's city on you. And I'm going to put my own new name on you. God has marked you. Rest assured, you're his. When you were a kid, did you inscribe your name on your toys so that no one else would get confused about what was yours? God wants us to know today that he's inscribed himself upon you. He names you and claims you as his own. You can rest assured in that. That's comforting. That's freeing. That's energizing to me to know that God, the God of all gods, the King of the universe, wants me. So much so that he bought me with a price to put his name over me and upon me. And that he has a place for me in his kingdom, and it's a place of honor and not disregard or disrespect or dishonor. It's a place for me, and there's a place for you. All we need to do is just humble ourselves and say, God, I need you. I want you. Thank you for the price that you've paid for me. Write your name upon me. I want to be there, and I want to have everything that you've promised. So God, come. Because when it's all said and done and we get to that heavenly city, we'll know that all the fatigue and all the exhaustion and all the tiredness that we've ever felt will have been worth it. Romans tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man all that God has in store for those who love him. Hang on. Rest assured, people of God. You're tired. God diagnoses it. But God wants to deal with it for you. He doesn't expect you to be the overcomer. In our culture, we say you need to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need to tighten your belt. You need to put your nose to the grindstone, your shoulder to the wheel. No wonder we're exhausted because we've made no place in that equation for God. What God's saying is, let me do it. I've seen your labor. Now watch what I can do and rest in that. And then lastly, God says, I want you to defeat the fatigue. I want you to be overcomers, not to be overcome by what you're dealing with. I want you to hold on. I want you to hang in there. I want you to keep a tight grip and not let go. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel, because you're going to make it. Hang in there. Finish strong. Back in 1992, I don't know if y'all are Olympic fanatics or not, but back in the Barcelona games, there was a name that I had never heard of. Derek Redmond. Maybe you were familiar with his story. He ran the 400 meter dash, or whatever it's called. He was considered kind of the premier athlete of his time. He was from Great Britain, and he was highly favored to win. He was going to run in Seoul in 1988, but he had an Achilles issue, and it prevented him from even running a single race there. So after arduous trials and temptations, about 5 surgeries on his foot, he finally overcame that and had come to the point of Barcelona was his Olympics to win, and everybody expected it. When he got there, he was posting great times, and if you are one of the top four finishers in the semifinals, you get to go to the Olympic finals. All he had to do was finish in one of the top four spots. And when the race began, that semifinal race that he was to qualify in, he jumped off to an early lead, and he had it. I mean, he was leading way out in front of the pack. He was just kind of cruising to victory when he heard a pop, almost like a gunshot. It was his hamstring. It had torn completely, and he crumpled to the track. And his first thought was, oh no, I'm not going to finish another Olympics. With searing pain in his legs, and as all the other runners rush past him on toward the finish line, the medics come out with the stretcher. And he stands up and bravely begins to hop toward the finish line. It's in view. He's got like one more turn. But he can hardly do it. The pain is intense. The medical crew is right there, and he waves them off. He's like, I'm not leaving this track on that stretcher. I am going to finish the race. Now, the best part of this story is the fact that his father was there at that Olympics. He was seated up around the Olympic flame that had just been lit a few days before. And when he saw his son crumple to the turf, when he watched his son go down on the track, he began the trek from the top of the stadium down. And by the time Derek had hopped and limped and struggled to just within 100 meters or so of the finish line, his dad, without pass credentials or a security clearance, jumped into the fray. And he ran onto the track, and security was trying to stop him, and he's like, that's my son. That's my son, and I will help him. And he gets to his son, and the son embraces the father, and the father embraces the son, and they weep together for a moment. But then the dad says, son, I'm here. I'm here, son. And we're going to finish this race together. And so they limped, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, step for step, the weary son leaning on the strong father. And they did. And the 69, 70,000 people that were in the stands exploded. You know what? You're weary. Maybe you have crumpled to the track in trying. Maybe you think, oh no, here we go again. Another failure. Another flaw, another flub up. But your father has seen you. He knows you're weary. He has diagnosed that you are fatigued. He's jumped into the fray and he says, I know how hard you've worked. Rest assured, you don't have to do this in your power. We're going to walk to the finish together. Don't let this defeat you. Let's do this together. Together. Together has power, doesn't it? Where I'm weary and heavy laden, I can come to a Savior who offers rest. Do you need that today? Have you been beat up by the world? Are you tired from doing good? Have you grown weary from well-doing? God says, don't give in on the brink of your miracle. Don't give up before I get there and reassure you and reaffirm you that I'm with you in the midst of all this. You see, today we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. It's a time where we can once again experience God's peace and His presence afresh and anew. It's where in this moment God comes up to us and He whispers in our ear, I know you're tired. I've been watching you and I am so blessed by your faith and the deeds that you've done in my name. I love you, my child. I'm here. When you come to the table, it's where God wraps himself around you and he says those affirming words, I'm here. Rest assured, my child, I'm working with you. I'm working for you. Even when you can't see me and the results are not evident yet, I'm here. Hang on. Hang on. We're going to get there together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray this word sinks into your hearts.